I have to tell you, I'm really bummed not to be with you in worship today. It is going to be such a great day hearing why these folks who are going to share love their church. I hope that you'll take the time this week. Send me an email, tward@crossroadsnova.org. Tell me why you love your church. There are so many things I love about Crossroads. One of the greatest things I love is the unlimited welcome that we share. I'm here at Cork College in Ireland, in Cork, and I'm thinking about all the ways that they celebrate diversity here and all the ways that they celebrate loving all people. And I am so grateful that that's our church. I hope you continue to allow worship today to remind you of the great ways that you love Crossroads and what Crossroads does to transform the world.
Thanks, Tim, for that message. Okay. Now to these people on the platform who are also a huge part of the life of Crossroads. And before Tim left, he had this idea. I think he talked to you guys a good while ago, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to let you introduce yourselves. It's Nick, Estefania, and Nancy. And Tim asked each of them to share a little something with you today because they each have a special story about why they're part of this church. And what they've been involved in. So I think we were going to start with Estefania, right? Okay.
All right. Good morning. My name is Estefania. I've been coming to Crossroads for most of my life, coming on 20 years now. So when Tim asked me if I could speak to why I love this church, I was kind of conflicted because I just had so many reasons, and it was really hard to nail it down to 5 minutes. But the first of that being the unlimited welcome is why I love Crossroads. I think that's something that a lot of churches say but don't really put into practice or don't really embody what they mean by that. So for me, it's really powerful that that's not just something that's in our newsletters, our messaging, but rather something that's put into practice. My first church that I went to as a kid wasn't Crossroads, it was a different church. But I remember not feeling very welcome in it because of some messaging around the idea of divorce and how that might not be really something that gets you into heaven or something that might not be good to do. And having divorced parents myself, being 5, 6, 7 years old at the time of hearing this messaging, I remember feeling so uncomfortable and feeling like, why do we come here if this is how our church leads feel about my family? Eventually, my mom started coming to Crossroads, and my siblings and I came here as well, too. And I remember from day one, back when Pastor Dave was the pastor here, and even Pastor Tim being the pastor here now, the message of unlimited welcome is preached every time we're here, and we've already touched on it multiple times this morning. It's something that, to me as a kid, felt really refreshing to know that it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done, you're welcome here, and I truly see that each and every time I'm in here. Another thing that goes into that idea of the unlimited welcome is I think this church does a great job at keeping kids and teens engaged. And again, that's not something that I think a lot of churches are able to do. I feel like it's easy to disconnect and disengage when you're a kid or a teen going through a lot of life changes. When I was in high school and college, I started to doubt my own faith, had questions about whether or not I really believed in God and how I saw him in my everyday life. And I remember feeling really guilty about that because I was raised to believe in God, brought to church every Sunday. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm not allowed at the church. Maybe I shouldn't be coming. But again, because it was a family thing for us, I'm still coming every Sunday. And again, feeling really badly about it. This was again when Pastor Dave was the pastor here. And he shared a message about how if you have doubts, if you have questions, if you're just curious about how your faith works, that that's okay, that that's part of our journey as faithful people. And I remember feeling like, okay, I'm welcome here. I'm allowed to be here even though I have questions. Mm-hmm. And even now, even though my beliefs are solidified and I am a faithful person and my belief in God is firm, it was just really nice to hear that as a kid who just had questions and doubts and curiosity. My second point of what makes me love Crossroads so much is the support that this church offers its members, and not just its members, but people outside these walls. During the early stages of COVID, it was spring 2020 when my family all tested positive for COVID. And at the time, there was a lot unknown about the pandemic, how long you should quarantine, what it means to have it. And I remember being really stressed out and scared that my whole family had it, and I didn't really know what that meant for us. I think my mom told maybe one person before Deborah Michelle, who a lot of you knew and loved, organized a meal sign-up. And within a day of someone knowing that we had COVID, there was a meal sign-up circulating throughout the church for 2 weeks. People that we didn't even have personal connections with coming to our door, texting us numbers we didn't know, checking up on us, sending medical devices, and just asking how we were, which was just so reassuring in a time where I was just stressed out and our whole family was kind of navigating what's going on. We can't even leave our house. It felt really nice to just see that the church had your back rather than just saying and preaching that we're family and we support those going through a difficult time. We were really able to see that and benefit from it, and it was appreciated. Again, like I said, the feeling of support extends beyond our four walls and who's here every Sunday. I think it's so important how our church gives back to the community, school children, those experiencing homelessness in DC, school kids in Uganda, the Guatemala Mission, BBS, and so much more. Lastly, I wanted to touch on what keeps me coming back to Crossroads. Some of these pictures are just, they don't tell a specific story, but they're just happy times that my family has shared with the church. But really, it's the idea that the church feels like an extension of my own family. This goes back to what I've been saying over and over, that the church really puts into practice what they say. I think a lot of churches say, our church family or those around you are your family, but they don't always show how they mean that. But that's something that I've always felt at Crossroads, and I mentioned how Crossroads has been there for my family during difficult times, but also through big milestones and celebratory moments. Some of these pictures are baptisms in our family. My niece has been baptized here. My sister was baptized here. Pastor Dave married my brother and sister-in-law. So we really do love Crossroads. We consider it part of our family, so much so that my fiance and I are getting married in March in Guatemala, and we asked Pastor Tim to come marry us, and he agreed. So we're really excited about that. We couldn't imagine not having our Crossroads family as part of our biggest and happiest day. But lastly, I just wanted to touch on the fact that ultimately everyone's welcome here. Everyone has a place here. If you're new, if you've been coming here for a long time, if you're just interested in sitting in and finding a new church, I think this is a great place to be. And again, everyone's welcome here regardless of who they are. I think Crossroads really meets you where you are instead of expects you to come in as a certain Christian.
Happy to be here. Thank you so much for that. It has been such a joy to watch your family over the years. I remember when you were, when you were little here, and your sister and your mom, and it's just been such a joy to be on that journey with you through this time. And we're excited for you for your upcoming marriage, and Tim's going to get an extra trip to Guatemala, so that's fantastic too. But it is the kind of place where people will do things for you, and that's what it is, right? That's what it means. I like the name Crossroads because it implies that our lives intersect here, and that's exactly what they do. Our spiritual lives, our daily lives, it all intersects here. So Nancy, I think you're going to go next, right?
I am, and anybody that's seen me speak before, I got to stand up because, okay, first of all, my feet don't even touch.
Do not fall off the platform
when I'm sitting on the stool, so I'm going to stand up. Also, because I'm a mover and a doer, you'll see as we pull up my slides what I chose to talk about, which is connection through service. I'm not one to sit in a small group and read and discuss. I really love to be out doing things. So I chose connection through service because I feel like so many times when we come in here and we sit, we don't really get to know each other, but how do we start to develop that connection? And the research shows that connection is so important for our mental health, for our physical health, and really helps us to thrive. So we're going to look at some connection through service that I've experienced. And I'll also say that I feel like life's kind of a marathon. Hopefully life's a marathon. I've been here for a long time. I started, my passion is really working with children and youth, and that's my background, and I came in with that. So I started kind of with what I knew First, I started leading the children's choir, and I think the people in my baby choir are now in college and out of college because it's been a long time. And then I led a Sunday school class, and I think some of my children are here, and they're in high school and about to finish high school from my three-year-old class. My assistant, my daughter in my three-year-old class, is now a teacher herself. And then I started to incorporate music and movement and mindfulness, which is what I was teaching all along in my professional life. I was teaching dance, but I ended up teaching yoga and studying mindfulness. So I started incorporating that. And so some of you may have seen mindfulness videos during COVID when we were doing the online school. But what I want to say too about creating connection through this is you're creating connection with the children you're working with, but also with the people that you are working beside. So for example, Kim Buskirk Engel was one of my first in my children's choir, and we just had coffee the other day. We're still so supportive of each other. And Christine Vinegar, like, I've just met people along the way who have also nurtured me. So even in the giving, you're also receiving. Then I expanded to tutoring at Farabee Hope, where I got to work with Kathy McCrell. And I ended up working with a kindergarten class, again, doing kind of music and mindfulness with them. You can see we were doing Parachute for Field Day. And somewhere along the way during that, my daughter decided that they all needed books to take home. So she started a book ministry where she was collecting used books and she would push them around on a cart so that they could all take home summer reading. So we kind of cultivated this relationship with Farabee Hope. And I think the bottom picture is also the Thanksgiving baskets, which they received when we did the tutoring. And so I was blessed by that relationship with Kathy too, who I still have a beautiful relationship with. And if you haven't gotten to know her, she's the knower of all things, I think,
she is around here.
So if you need to know something, find Kathy. And you can move to the next slide. Then I got super brave, and I started working with the kids from Uganda. First, we hosted them in our house, and I think the top left picture, you can kind of see they were very young. My daughter was, I think, in middle school, maybe? Elementary school? What? She was nine. Sorry, it all runs together. It's a marathon. But if you look at the picture below, when I finally actually went to Uganda, which was super brave, these are the same kids that were about nine at the time, all grown up and in high school and in their programs for summer and hospitality and nursing. And so I was so blessed to get to go with the incredibly brilliant Jaja Jin Score, who works back behind the desk so quietly and diligently. But when you go to Uganda, oh my goodness, she is a celebrity. And she is she just comes alive. And if you ever want to ask her anything about Uganda, she is the knower of all things Uganda and has such just brilliant relationships with these children that she's known since they were tiny tots and now are graduating their kind of university system. And just when you talk about life altering, if you ever get a chance to do one of these mission trips, that can just be, you were sharing that too, Susan, yeah. Life altering.
Completely.
Yeah, on many levels. It's kind of all the things, really. So that was the next mission that I did. And then as you flip to you can flip to the next slide. I started to study yoga, and I started teaching a teen yoga through the Imagine Ministry. And I have to just shout out and credit Dave and Kathy Norman, because Kathy, I think, was the hugest supporter of me on so many levels, like always encouraging me to do the next thing and teach the teens. And if you have a vision or a kind of calling, how you can best use your gifts to serve. So she kind of helped me navigate that. And I went to her as I was playing kind of non-competitive games with some of the teens. And I said, I just have this vision. I started researching play, and play is so important for all of us. I just have this vision, like adults need to play too. We all need to play. And so I said, I have this vision of this class I call Reconnect, like our head, heart, and body, but also reconnecting with each other and connecting older people with younger people and all coming together. And so I did maybe four classes before COVID hit. And we did, you can see there were interactive games and things like, I think the top one, the class was on balance and we did all balance activities, but there was also a service element involved and there was also some meditation involved. And it was just all ages coming together, kind of supporting each other and meeting each other and playing. So that was just such a gift to be able to think up some wild thing and have it kind of come to fruition right here. And then you can flip to the last slide, which is how do we connect? So we're all wired for connection, but how do we connect? It's really hard sometimes when you're sitting and just listening here, but the first place to connect is when they say, turn around and greet your neighbor, right? So we turn around and we greet our neighbor, but I always say, like, I sit stage left, and mostly the same people sit stage left, the same people sit stage right. And one thing I'll tell you about the neuroplasticity in our brain is that change is good for it. So maybe next week I'm going to sit over here, but what I'm going to invite you all to do is maybe look over to a different area and kind of wave to someone over there. And maybe today you might just introduce yourself to somebody on the other side of the room today. Just kind of switch it up. And then start to look kind of in your heart and see where your talents might lie and where you might have a calling. Open up that connection card or look on the website. And there are just so many infinite ways you can serve. And I wouldn't ever say I'll guarantee you, but I'll almost guarantee you that you will also receive in that giving. And there's something also to be said for how we receive and if we're willing and open to receive. I'm just wondering if I ask everyone, like, is it harder to give or to receive? Mm. How many people would say it's harder for them to receive, to be on the receiving end? Yeah, it's really, really interesting. But if we look at life as this marathon, there are times in life when we need to receive. And all of these people that I've worked with, when I've had hard times, and we've been here 20 years, so there's some of that, they all come back to support. And are we open to receiving that after we've nurtured the giving? So connection through service. Thank you, Nancy.
If you ever get a chance to do anything at all with Nancy, I recommend you do it, because she has a bundle of positive energy and joy that you just bring to everything you do. So thank you.
I also want to say, I just finished grad school like a week ago, and I finished a master's degree in yoga therapy. Super interesting. But I'm now looking for the next thing. And I love to do public speaking. I love to do speaking engagements. I love, like, regulating the nervous system and all of that. So if anybody has any ideas of the next thing, my palms are open and my heart is open. And here we go.
I'm pretty sure we're going to find something next for you to do next. So thank you. And thank you for sharing that. And Nancy's family is here. She pointed out McKenna over here is a teacher and helps with student ministry. And her husband, Doug, plays electric guitar in the worship team, so we just thank you all for being so connected. And Nick Burghardt is our next speaker, so tell us about your experience here, Nick.
All right. I've got to stand up, too. I'm like Nancy. I move around, and I use my hands and do big, crazy gestures and all that. So anyway, my wife and I would consider myself, I'm the newbie up here. I've been here for just a little over a year. We started the same Sunday Tim started, but if he can't call himself the new person anymore, I suppose I can't either. So this is my wife Jackie up here and our dog Olive, and this was actually taken at the pet blessing last year, which I would say that's one aspect of how we love this church, is how our whole family feels loved and accepted. And my wife and I, we don't have any kids. We've been married for 17 years. And being part of the church growing up, that's always been a very difficult thing for us. There's a lot of churches we've been to where we haven't really felt accepted in that role. You know, whether it's by choice or not by choice, we're still a family, right? And I think that was one of the things that coming here, we just felt totally welcomed on that first day and comfortable. But to back it up a little bit for why we even ended up here, and part of the reason we love the church is, as we were going through the pandemic and going through all that time, you know, that was the time of when the George Floyd murder happened. Obviously, the pandemic created a ton of division in the country, and my wife and I were just going through a season of change of our faith, like Estefania was talking about here, where we were just questioning things, and things that we had just didn't feel comfortable, didn't feel right for us, where we were at. And so we were processing that together, and we were still faithfully going to church where we went, but it just never felt like home. It was like we just got to a point, and you know, this was a church that, like, I had served in there, I was on their board and all of those things, and having been there for so long, it was very hard to go through that. And then we found ourselves like, okay, we're through with this season. We need to go look for something else. And we started looking around. This is actually the second place I think we looked. We found another church that we tried online because it was still in COVID that we were checking things out. And we were really just looking for a place of inclusivity, some place that, like, really accepts people where they're at, really wants to talk about the hard topics, and we found ourselves here, and that brought great joy to us. It was nice to come back to church and actually feel real joy when I left, and it's funny to say that joy when what was bringing joy was talking about hard topics. Mm-hmm. That Tim wouldn't back away from what was actually going on in the world. And how he approached it was the thing that really kind of sat with us well. It was like from a place of curiosity, of trying to know, trying to understand, and not having the answers to all of this, but that everybody's welcome wherever you're at in any of these journeys was a thing that really stuck on with us. And I know we're not doing it today, but communion's a great example of one of those things. So having grown up in the church, and like I was getting at earlier, we were never Methodists, so coming here, there was always rules around who could have communion and when you could do it. And coming here and just hearing, you know, all are welcome at the table, it was like, wow, like, this is really exciting to be able to see, like, you don't have to do anything. Like, Jesus is there for you, for everybody, all the time. And so being able to talk about the hard topics, but also talking about Jesus was a really important thing for me to hear, and part of why we really felt loved. You can have all that love, and it's all great and good, but if you can't have the connection that Nancy was talking about, then it doesn't really amount to anything, I think. And I will tell you, like, I am the more extroverted out of my wife and I, but even with that extroversion, I really hate, like, trying to mingle with small talk and large group settings. So, like, in the service and after service, not really my jam in terms of how to meet new people and connect. Although, unlike what Nancy was saying, we do move around every Sunday because I'm like, I try to change up that neuroplasticity, but anyway, through that, probably within the first month of being here, I got connected in pub theology, and that really was what made me feel like this was a total home, right? Like, that could go there, and we were talking about some of the same hard topics that I was talking about earlier, but I really got to know some of the guys in there that I would have the ability to connect with outside of church. We'd be able to go into deeper topics, but we didn't always just have to sit there and talk about really, like, spiritual things. Like, we did, but we also just lived life together and talked about what was going on. And I think that was a real big thing for me, being able to find that. Some of the other things we've both connected with that I think have been really great, like the movie nights. Love the movie nights and being able to look at some topics. And I think Erin arranged those, so now that she's left, it probably needs somebody else to go arrange those. So maybe I have a new place to serve. But through all these servings and through Pub Theology, with Ryan and Kirk, I've got connected into the church council, which has been really great. I love that I'm at a place that accepts having a new person come and join and kind of have just an outside point of view without having to be so connected to the traditions and things that happened before. So we've just really enjoyed being embraced as a whole, and I have never been at a church where I've felt more loved or respected for just being who we are, where we are at any given time.
Thank you for that. And thank you for being part of the church council, too. The church council is kind of the big picture leadership body of the church, and it's one of our larger teams. But wow, Nick and the people on that church council come with such openness of heart and integrity to really think through all the issues that are ahead of us as a church at the high level and make decisions. And that's a super important role, Nick. So thank you for doing that. So what does all this mean for all of you and those of you who are watching online? And especially if you are new today, if you are a guest here today, you might be thinking, this is not what I expected when I was gonna come here. But the question has come to me again and again and again, because I've been part of Crossroads for a long time. My family and I were gone for about 9 years, where we helped another group of people that started a church in Ashburn. They needed some help with a startup, and we helped there for a while and then came back. But my answer is always, I remember in my first Zoom meeting with Tim, he's like, why are you still at Crossroads? What is it about Crossroads? And my answer is always the same. It is the people. It is the people here. It is all of you that make this church the place that is welcoming, because it can't just be the staff who are welcoming and authentically inclusive of every single person in the world and most animals, as you said. I just put that pet blessing on the calendar for this year, by the way. But it is the people, it is all of you that have made this such an amazing and special place. And that's a God principle. The church is not this building. It's not. When I was in Sunday school, we sang a little song that said, the church is not a building, the church is not a steeple. The church is the people. And that is really the truth here. So it is what you bring that is important. Whether you are serving in some capacity, whether you're part of a group, you are still here in this moment, and you are worshiping online with us. We feel your presence. And you are also part of this church in this moment. There's a scripture that talks about that, and I think expresses it so beautifully. And I think we have that scripture for up there. It comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And this is verses 4 through 7. It says, there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit that is given to each person for the common good. That actually is in the Bible, but honestly to me it sounds like it could be a synopsis of what we just heard and what the definition is of the church. Every person here, every person online, every person who has ever come through these doors or will come through these doors is already gifted by the Holy Spirit of God in many, many ways. What makes a church is a group of people coming together with a mind to use that giftedness that God has already given them. It's born with each one of us in ways that will help the world. And that is what you do. It's very tangible here because our serve ministries are really big and really important. What we can't see is what every single person here does outside of this building. And I know almost all of you, and I know every one of you are not just the church of Jesus Christ when you're in this building. You're the church in the world when you're outside of this building, in your jobs, in your neighborhoods. You are still the church. And that is what we celebrate today. That's what I Love My Church Sunday is about. And so we wanted to give you an opportunity to participate. Graham earlier alluded to a special project for the kids when they bring their popsicle sticks. I think some or all of you got a popsicle stick. There's going to be an art project. This is a craft, let me just say that. There's a craft coming for next week. So you got a popsicle stick today. You also have some sticky note hearts on your seats. And we're going to take about 2 minutes of time here to reflect on that scripture, how every single person is gifted by God already. Not that you have to learn a new skill when you come here. As Nancy pointed out, it's good for your brain if you do learn a new skill, but you are already gifted by God with gifts to serve the larger body of Christ and serve the people in this world. So we're going to give you about 2 minutes, and there are three things that I would like for us to think about in those minutes. And here they are. What do you love about your church? That's one option. What do you long for in your church? What might be missing for you? Or if you are a guest today, what did you come here longing for and hoping to experience? If this is your first time online, go to the prayer request place on our website and enter this information, the answers to these questions, and we will post them on the art project that we're going to make this week. What do you long for in your church? What is missing that we could come together and do better or do differently? And the final question is, what is God calling you to do to continue building up the church in this place, but more importantly, building up the larger church of Jesus Christ in the world? So three questions. What do you love about your church? What do you long for in your church that might be missing? And what is God calling you? And you're going to hear some music play. There are baskets at the back of the doors as you go out today. You can drop your heart or drop your popsicle sticks in there, and people who are more artistic than I am are going to put something fun together for next week. The other thing I want us to do during this reflection time is to pray for our church and pray for our pastor. We have been incredibly blessed in the life of this church to have two amazing pastors. The first one served here for over 30 years. There's a scripture about it doesn't matter who plants the seed and who does the watering and who reaps the harvest. The way I think that applies to us is Pastor Dave Norman was here for three decades. He gave three decades of his life to building up this church and ministering to many of you. I am grateful for that. And I continue to pray for Dave and his wife, Kathy. God then sent Pastor Larry, who came for a short time, and then called Pastor Tim Ward and his family to come. That's an amazing blessing for us because a church needs strong and focused leadership. So in this time, let's pray for our church, pray for our pastor and his family, and take some time to write down your thoughts about that. And we're going to do something cool with it. Thank you so much for being part of this. Thank you to all of you. Can we thank them for preparing and for being part of this? And now they're going to play some music in the booth, and we're going to give you time to reflect. And now I'd like us to pray together for our church. Gracious God, who created the concept of people coming together as a church in the world, we are grateful for that gift. We are grateful for this place in the middle of a wonderful community. And I am grateful for every person that is part of this community or has ever been part of it. We ask you to continue to pour out your spirit on this place and in each of our hearts and on Tim as he leads us. Give us a passion to talk to people in need and hear what they're really saying. Hear what they're saying to us. Give us a greater yearning in our hearts to be in community, to be with other people, because it's there that we grow. It's there that we learn. It's there that we expand our viewpoints. And there's no better way for us to do that than working together, loving together, and serving together. God, I pray for the children and the students that are in this church. Continue to send people who are willing to pour into their lives so that they can be raised up, they can grow up strong, and continue the work of Jesus in the world. We have so much for which to be grateful today, God. And I'm so thankful for this church and all the people in it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.